You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Cheer a superstar.
And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it. You are Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Larson. Find me on the social media at Locked On Brewers, the show handle. Also at Cheesehead Talks, my personal Twitter handle, and Facebook.com/Locked On Brewers. Go visit, follow, engage, talk, debate, compliment, maybe even disagree. If you want to, and find us there in social media each and every day. Good show today. Kyle Loebner is going to join us from the Shepherd's Express in Milwaukee. Writes about the Brewers. Also plays a big role in covering the Appleton, the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers in Appleton. And so is very in touch with the first levels of the Brewers minor league system. And he's done a couple of articles in the Shepherd's Express this week about the Brewers and their offseason and the decisions they have. And it's just, you know, as you dive more into it, you realize, boy, there's a lot going on here, and it's not going to be easy for the Brewers to try and, you know, have an semblance of some control over their payroll and also bring back some of these key players, but also try and maybe go get a player or two. And before you know it, it all adds up. 16 arbitration-eligible players, options for Chase Anderson and Eric Thames that add up to $16 million combined, $7.5 and $8.5 million for both players, $8.5 for Chase and $7.5 for Thames. And so if they want to keep those guys, those are the options they might have to pick up. Now, they might not do that with Chase. They might drop him and try and either let him go or re-sign him at a lower price. But those are the specific discussions we'll get into more during the offseason. But big picture here, you know, if each and every one of those 16 arbitration eligible players got their projected increase from you know, sort of the people who look at this stuff, that's about a $20 million increase in the Brewers' payroll. And then you're talking about, well, what do you do with Yasmani Grandal? Do you really push to sign him? What about Moustakas? What about some of these other guys who are actual free agents? Lyles and Pomerantz and other guys out there that you want to bring back. Or again, what about people outside, other free agents that you want to try and bring in? And who are you in the market for, and how far can you stretch that payroll? And that's a big topic of conversation among Brewer fans, too. Say, well, you know, look, we sent 3 million people through the turnstiles each and every year here. We're supporting this team in Milwaukee. I get it that the TV money is not near what the Cubs or the Dodgers or even the Cardinals or, you know, a lot of other teams in baseball for that matter. But don't you think you can get that payroll up to 150? I mean, really? You know, that's kind of the thought, right? I think that's something we'll explore during the offseason as well. I don't know what's real and not there. I struggle to have an opinion on that because I don't know. And I don't think it's necessarily fair to ask Mark Attanasio to lose money. I really don't. And I don't know if he would be. There's a lot of uncertainty there because owners don't open their books up for fans to see, right? And so you think maybe, well, they're just lying to us and they're really making money hand over fist, but I don't know. I mean, they have a lot of overhead. You know, they have a lot of overhead, and the TV money is not what it is in other markets, and their payrolls don't get much over $200 million, right? Not on average. And so, yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting conversation. I don't want to dive into all that today. What I do want to do is get to Kyle Loebner, because we had a good talk about some of the key players, Travis Shaw, Jimmy Nelson, Orlando Arcia, and also Thames and Chase Anderson, and about the logistics of what the Brewers are facing with these guys and the decision they have to make. So we'll get to that coming up next, and we'll get right into it. You're Locked On Brewers. Locked On Vivid. Okay, maybe it's not locked down, but that's the promo code. Well, you can use the promo code postseason with Vivid to get some discounts on your tickets. We're talking about shows, we're talking about concerts, we're talking about sporting events. You know, for the most part, I've used Vivid. I don't think I've ever used them for anything but sporting events, but I've used them for a lot of sporting events. being able to get the app on my phone download. I have the iPhone. You know, I can go right to it. It's convenient. They show you exactly what you're looking for. You can narrow it down to price range. You can narrow it down to location at the arena. You can see what the best available seats are. You get a good picture of what the costs are all around the arena as you're looking to buy a ticket. And, of course, as game time gets closer, are those prices going up? Are they going down? What's happening? The Vivid app has it all for you, so download that. You can become a loyalty member with Vivid, a savings of 10% plus. As you continue to purchase tickets and seats through Vivid Plus, it's 100% guaranteed. They guarantee their seats, so you don't have to worry about, well, geez, am I spending money? Am I going to not have a ticket there? You know, I've done it a million times. You might have, too. It's there. It's guaranteed. I've never had it fail for me. So check it out. And again, promo code POSTSEASON, but download that Vivid app and enjoy your events and memories, making memories through the Vivid app. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime. Let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code POSTSEASON at checkout and receive a discount of up to $100. We're joined on Locked On Brewers by Kyle Loebner, who writes for the Shepherd Express in Milwaukee and always has some good insights about what the Brewers are up to and what decisions they might make. So I brought him on particularly. You can go check out his work again at Shepherd Express. He just has written a couple of articles about what's ahead for the Brewers and as far as off-season decisions, I should say, are concerned. And Kyle joined us now. Thanks for the time, Kyle. Appreciate it. I wanted to start by just asking you particularly about the three players you mentioned in your most recent article with the Shepherd Express, and that is Travis Shaw to start with. Very interesting case as far as I'm concerned, where the Brewers could probably pay about an estimated $4.7 million, or maybe they negotiate something lower with Shaw based on the season he had. I just still can't wrap my head around, Kyle, a guy, you know, producing like he did for 2 years and then just falling off a cliff. And I believed all season long that eventually he would find it, and maybe I'm a little more unsure now. How do you think the Brewers feel about Travis Shaw?
Well, I think you just outlined exactly the argument for both re-signing Shaw and letting him go. Shaw was one of the most productive players the Brewers had, you know, for most of a decade, you know, the last two seasons, or two of the last three seasons now. And all of a sudden this year, for whatever reason, it just didn't come around. And, you know, it's hard to believe now, looking back, that, you know, back in March, the Brewers moved Mike Moustakas off of his position to make room for Travis Shaw. That's how valuable they saw him 6 months ago. And the season he has had has been just a complete disaster. Yeah. And you have to believe that, you know, at some case, this simply becomes an element of the snowball turning into the avalanche, where it just becomes a thing that becomes mental on top of physical. But I think, you know, the Brewers have to, at a bare minimum, operate under the understanding that Travis Shaw is not that far removed from being a very good everyday big leaguer. And he's probably a guy that they may need unless they find a way to bring Mike Moustakas back. And so I think, you know, as you look at the winter ahead, it is very difficult to justify paying Travis Shaw either a guaranteed contract or $4.7 million, which is the MLB trade rumors projection for his arbitration settlement amount. But I think it makes a lot of sense for both sides, for Shaw, who is a guy who's been very comfortable in Milwaukee, you know, has gone to great lengths to talk about the medical care his daughter has received in Milwaukee. You know, a guy who does seem to enjoy being here in Wisconsin. And a Brewers team that has a need at this point, at least unless they have plans to go in another direction, and an understanding that not that long ago Shaw was very effective here. These two sides are both better off with each other than without, almost certainly. And so I think this is maybe one of the easiest cases in a while for the two sides to come together and say, you know what, we know that Travis Shaw wouldn't get $4.7 million on the open market right now. He would probably be lucky to get a minor league deal. Well, he'd get a minor league deal somewhere, but he'd be lucky to get a real shot at an opening day roster somewhere else. The Brewers can give him that, and they can do it probably at a much lesser price. And so I strongly expect that before arbitration figures are actually exchanged in another couple of months, you'll see the Brewers go to Travis Shaw and work something out for him to come back, get an opportunity to compete for playing time, get an opportunity to prove he can go back to being the player he was and resurrect his value a little bit.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. But, of course, they're taking a little bit of a bet and maybe at a lower price, like you mentioned, than the $4.7 or so million. But does that mean also that, you know, let's just assume Moustakas is not going to be re-signed. Does that mean that they, you know, they have a Spangenberg that they definitely tender then and maybe Hernan Perez as backups, at least stopgaps at the position?
Well, I think, there's a variety of ways they could go. One is to bring back Mike Moustakas. And I think, you know, it makes a lot of sense for everyone involved to try to find a way to bring Moustakas back. It's hard to treat that as a given just because anytime a guy, you know, becomes a free agent, you have to treat it as the most likely outcome that he doesn't come back. But with that said, if the Brewers don't bring back Moustakas, then it's a question mark what they'll do at third base because they can't hand the opening day job to Travis Shaw. You know, just based on the year he had, he's in a position where he would need to come back and prove he can do it. And so then the question becomes, what's the plan if not? And those options that you mentioned, Hernan Perez and Corey Spangenberg, who are both, by the way, arbitration eligible in their own right, aren't super attractive options to play third base every day. And so, you know, you might see the Brewers look out there on the free agent market, try to find, you know, another option, try to find somebody who at the very least can split some time with Shaw or split some time with whoever the primary third baseman is. But if the options are Shaw, Spangenberg, and Perez, then I think you're going to see a lot of folks talking this spring about how third base has the potential to be a real weak spot in the Brewer lineup if this doesn't turn out.
Yeah, we'll have to watch that closely. A couple other players you talked about. One would be Orlando Arcia. And I know a lot of fans have sort of been, maybe not a lot, but there's been some buzz if you pay attention to Twitter, as I do, which is probably not representative of an entire fan base. But, you know, people frustrated with his offense and saying, you know, don't even tender him, move on. I've always kind of argued that, you know, some guys, it takes a little longer to develop offensively. I'm not suggesting Arcia is going to be a 300 hitter or anything like that, but that maybe in year 4, 5, 6, the light bulb goes on and he starts being more consistent with what he does when he's on a hot streak, and that's go back up the middle into right field, shorten the stroke, and maybe he figures out a way to do that more consistently. And I don't feel like he's worth giving up on, particularly since I don't feel like it's going to cost the Brewers a lot of money. You know, we're talking about, what, $2.7 million, something like that? For his defense, I feel like that's worth it despite the frustration of his offense. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, and I think about a week ago now, I saw a poll that Brew Crew Ball ran on Twitter asking people what they thought the Brewers should do with Orlando Arcia, who is due about $2.5 million in arbitration, give or take, and is coming off a couple of weak offensive seasons. And my mind was blown by the fact that more than 50% of people wanted to non-tender him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for one, we're really just not talking about that much money. $2.7 million. And this isn't a position, you know, the shortstop position is not one where you can just go out and pick up a guy off the scrap heap. You know, there are examples of guys who have come in on minor league free agent deals and done well in that spot, but it's certainly not a given. If the Brewers were to non-tender Orlando Arcia, reinvest that money in the position and try to, you know, get lucky on the scrap heap or try to find an opportunity to, you know, improve on a free agent deal, there's a strong possibility they don't do better. And again, when you look at the options within the organization, you know, this might be a little bit of ammunition for people who think the Brewers shouldn't have traded Mauricio Dubon, which is an entirely different debate. But when you look at what's in the organization right now, if there is not Orlando Arcia on the opening day roster for this Brewer team, then again, you're talking about Hernan Perez, you're talking about Corey Spangenberg, you're talking about spending the same amount, maybe a little more money, and there's absolutely no guarantee that those guys will be better offensively or defensively. You know, one of the things I mentioned in the piece, despite all the concerns related to Orlando Arcia, despite the fact that he was one of the worst offensive players in baseball last year, despite the fact that the Brewers have been pretty open publicly about feeling like his defense has gone up and down over the last couple of years, they still played him in 150 games this year. And that's a pretty clear statement about what they feel about the gap is between him and the other options at that position.
Yeah.
And so I would be shocked if Arcia does not come back at that price. Now, I would not be surprised at all if the Brewers go out and look for a minor league free agent or somebody they can get inexpensively to push him for playing time. But to drop a guy like Orlando Arcia right now would be roughly the equivalent to giving up on a guy like Carlos Gomez when he was 25 years old. And the Brewers benefited mightily from another team's decision to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, you just sometimes these guys blossom offensively late, so we'll have to see there. Jimmy Nelson, the third player you mentioned in your article, very interesting because there was so much hope for him last year. That balloon is right. Essentially deflated among fans, but, you know, the door's not closed on him. It could be very well that his career is over. Could be that he's destined to be a bullpen pitcher. But it also could be, Kyle, that he just needed this extra time and rehab to strengthen the shoulder to get back, you know, to anywhere close to where he was. And again, maybe a guy the Brewers can get relatively inexpensively to take a shot. I mean, I know this all adds up, right, with all these arbitration players. But Jimmy Nelson's going to be a curious case here to see what the Brewers do. What do you think they're going to do?
You know, I think kind of along the lines of the Shaw deal, the Brewers recognize and Nelson recognizes that they have spent a fair amount of money over the last couple of years and not gotten much of a return. With Nelson missing all of the 2018 season, in addition to missing much of the 2019 season and then not being at full strength when he came back, you know, I think these two sides know each other well enough to, you know, work something out and be together on a lesser deal. But I really think there's the possibility. And I know that we've been talking up the Jimmy Nelson return for quite a while now. But the data from the last month of the season suggests that the month of September in some shorter outings and in outings later in the year once he had a little more opportunity to get a little more rest, become a little more comfortable, continue to kind of retrain his arm, Nelson's velocity ticked up. And really, the only relevant thing that came from that last game of the season, that long extra inning game after all the playoff positions had been decided, when the Brewers just kind of dragged out the end of the regular season for another couple hours, really the only relevant thing that came from that was Nelson threw two perfect innings and was hitting 97 on the gun, which is something he's really never done. And if he can demonstrate the ability to continue to do that, if he can get velocity back, the difference between 92 to 94 and 94 to 96 in velocity is bigger than you would imagine. And so if Nelson is able to come to camp healthy, if he's able to come to camp full go, and he's able to come to camp with that velocity, then there is a strong possibility that he does go back to being Jimmy Nelson. And, you know, there's a lot of ifs in there, and there's been a lot of ifs for years now with Nelson, but I think that's worth a shot. At a bare minimum. And it's not a case where you kind of pencil him in as a fifth starter or anything like that. Like, he would have to earn his way there. But for the cost of potentially a couple million dollars, the Brewers are probably going to spend money on pitchers this winter who are going to be less productive than Jimmy Nelson could be. You know, and I think anytime you're trying to build a winning team in a market like Milwaukee, you need to hit on a few guys like this.
Yeah, no, you certainly do. Talking with Kyle Loebner from the Shepherd Express and writes about the Brewers. And a previous article, final question for you, Kyle. Excuse me. You had written also about the decision that the Brewers have about a couple of club options, and that's Eric Thames, $7.5 million, and Chase Anderson, $8.5 million here in 2020. I feel like Thames has become a no-brainer because of the way he produced last year, but curious to get your perspective on him and Chase Anderson. And is it a choice at those costs that the Brewers have to either choose, you know, might have to choose either or instead of both? Because we talk about all these guys, 16 eligible arbitration players, and these two, I mean, that really starts to add up in salary, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head with the number 16. You're going to hear that number 16 an awful lot this winter from the Brewers, because they are going to remind fans over and over again that they came into this winter with 16 players due for a raise in arbitration. It doesn't take long before that becomes a very big deal. But with that said, you know, when you look at the two club options, you're really talking about a pair of pretty remarkable stories from guys who a year ago at this time we would almost certainly have guessed would not be back with the Brewers by this time. Eric Thames, who had gotten passed on the depth chart by Jesus Aguilar, who really had become an all-star first baseman and had eaten up a lot of Thames playing time. And Chase Anderson, who went from opening day starter to left off the playoff roster a year ago. These guys both came back and had 2019 seasons where now all of a sudden it's kind of difficult to imagine the Brewers letting them walk away. Thames especially, as you mentioned, this option seems like a pretty clear choice for this team right now unless they find something in free agency or they're confident they can do something else because the option to replace him just isn't clear at this point. And for Anderson, you know, for the way the Brewers use pitchers for shorter starting outings, he has demonstrated an ability to be good in that role. And he has made some of the adjustments that he seemed reluctant to make a year ago. And so, yeah, it's going to be, you know, if the Brewers do not bring these guys back, they are going to leave holes on the roster that it's probably going to be more expensive to fill than it would have been if they had just exercised both these options.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Lots of interesting choices here through the entire offseason, so we'll certainly keep track. Have you back to talk about it more. Kyle, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you. Have a good night.
You can find Kyle Loebner's work at Shepherd Express and on Twitter at By Kyle Loebner, L-O-B-N-E-R, at By Kyle Loebner. Give him a follow. Tell him you heard him on the podcast and enjoy his work as he covers the Brewers on all levels, minor leagues, major leagues. It's good stuff. So we'll talk more. We'll do a fan mailbag section for the show on Friday, so be sure to get some questions in about that. I'll promo that on Twitter as well and maybe do a poll question or two. Leading up to that and looking forward to that. So that's what's ahead for Locked On Brewers, and we'll look at the NLCS too. I recorded this too early for the Game 4 final to fall into place, so we'll talk about hopefully the demise of the Cardinals, you know, coming up a little bit later on as well. And before too long, we're going to have a World Series to talk about as well and just see what happens and what the matchup is going to be like as far as the World Series is concerned. So that is all coming up and looking forward to the postseason here as it continues around Major League Baseball. Looking forward to telling you about Blue Chew as well. Okay, that's a terrible transition, but, you know, it's hard to make a transition to Blue Chew. But you've heard about it. The sex improvement, enhancement, chewable. Now, these other things are pills, right? Viagra, Cialis. Blue Chew, chewable. So there's an advantage there. It works up to twice as fast as the other aforementioned famous sex enhancement or performance enhancement, shall we say, in the bedroom products that we all know about. But, you know, it's discreet. Easier to get a prescription. A lot of advantages as far as you know, what you're talking about when you talk about Blue Chew. And you go online, you get a prescription. It will ship directly to you in a more discreet package, so neighbors don't have to see the packages on your porch and go, oh, hey, look at Bob, what he's got going on there. Wonder what's going on in the bedroom. No, that's not what happens. So that's very, very nice, too. And again, Blue Chew, you can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast, as I mentioned, as the pill. So they're made in the U.S., and they ship direct, and they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Lots of reasons to try Blue Chew. Right now, a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. Get your first shipment free. And you use promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB to try for free. Blue Chew, the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Brewers. Remember to check me out on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks or at Locked On Brewers. That is the show handle, always available for you on Twitter to follow and to check out the mentions of other people talking about the Brewers and what needs to be done here as we're just very early on in this offseason. Also, Facebook.com/LockdownBrewers. Please go rate and review the podcast as well. And if you give us a positive review, that helps us out a lot. So do that whenever, wherever you can, and have a good time with it. Many thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya podcast app as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Also, when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Brewers. I'm Ben Larson. Talk to you soon when we deliver your daily Brewers fix right here on Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.